Welcome to the Qualcomm Podcast. From 5G and AI to XR and IoT, Qualcomm is creating the newest technologies to transform lives and industries across the globe. I'll be taking you behind the scenes with the inventors and experts bringing the technology to life so you can hear all about the most exciting evolutions in tech right from the source. I'm PJ, and thanks for listening. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the Qualcomm Podcast. And this is going to be an awesome version with some returning guests. Usually, we take everybody into the labs, but today we're taking you steps from the White House in Washington, D.C. And I'm excited to have back on the podcast Dean Brenner and Alice Tornquist. So Dean is our Senior Vice President of Spectrum Strategy and Tech Policy. And Alice is our Vice President of Spectrum Strategy and Tech Policy, and they are live in Washington, D.C. And in previous podcasts, we've walked through the importance of spectrum with them and how important it is working with local governments and to allocate spectrum, and so we can enhance connectivity for everybody and get faster speeds. And now we'll be talking about something called the homework gap in remote education and why it's vital and how we close this gap and what needs to happen to do so. So Dean, Alice, thank you for joining.
Thanks,
TJ. Yeah, great to be with you.
Great to be with you too again. So Alice, can you tell us about what's going on with the connectivity gap and why it's a problem, why it's so important?
Yeah, so thank you. Thanks, PJ, and thank you for hosting this podcast. This is truly a critical issue. And the homework gap, it's something we've been focused on for many years at Qualcomm, actually going back to 2007. We saw that in many cases, schools were not understanding the potential that wireless devices held for improving education. So rather than leveraging them to help students learn, they were banning them from the classroom as a distraction. So at that time, Qualcomm funded a pilot project in rural North Carolina that provided phones to ninth grade students. And these phones were loaded with algebra content. And the pilot also had a control class for the students with no phones. And as we expected, the results were really very promising. The students with the phones performed better in class. And one of the reasons being that they were coming to class better prepared, having used their phones to collaborate with one another for homework ahead of time. And they ended up performing substantially better on their end of course exam compared to the other students. So we've been convinced since then that providing devices and connectivity to students is really an essential element to improving education. And we've been talking about it ever since then to policymakers. And since that time, well, you know, there are some schools, districts around the country that provide devices to students. There are many that do not. And as far as connectivity is concerned, federal policy has been focused on providing connectivities at schools and libraries through the FCC's E-Rate program. And that doesn't provide students it doesn't provide funding for students to have connectivity at home. So fast forward to now with a global pandemic. And schools and libraries are closed throughout the country. And there's really an undeniable problem that, you know, perhaps what people considered a good idea or something that, you know, we should strive for is now really a national emergency. So it's estimated that, you know, there's at least 124,000 schools have closed. It's affecting 55 million students. And for students who don't have devices and connectivity at home, remote learning is all but impossible. And this could be as many as 12 million students, which is truly an astonishing number. And in particular, low-income students and those in rural areas are disproportionately impacted.
Absolutely, absolutely. And to that point, I mean, it's everybody is, you know, impacted. And I get calls all the times, you know, from friends or just, hey, I've got to improve my connectivity speed at home. And so obviously, we got to get it at every level, from professionals and especially the children who are now displaced and working from home. So, and Dean, what effect do you think this is having on the students and what are you seeing from your perspective on what the government is trying to do to help uh, help the situation as well.
Yeah, so I think it's having an absolutely devastating effect, but don't take my word for it, PJ. Yeah. You can find an article in almost every state of the country talking about what a devastating impact this inability that some kids have to get connectivity or devices is having on their ability to learn. And by the way, schools are closed now, but in the fall, we don't know what the situation is going to be. Even if schools open, schools have to be set up for social distancing, which could mean something like, you know, one day at school, one day away from school. When kids are back in school, some kids who have the connectivity will be functioning at grade level. The kids without are not. So are we going to pass everyone, pretend that this gap didn't happen? Are we going to, quote unquote, hold kids back? That's what we used to call it. Are we going to defer their education? It presents just insuperable problems. And the way I think about it is, you know, education in our country, K through 12 education, is universal. We don't say some kids you get it if you can afford it, other kids you don't. So if we go into a third grade class that has 30 kids, we don't say, okay, you know what, you 25 of you who can afford to buy books, okay, here, you go buy books. And then the other five who don't have the money to buy books, we don't say you're out of luck. We don't say, you know, you can, you know, there's Wi-Fi in parking lots people are going to. We don't tell kids if they need a book, come to a parking lot. So we got to have a universal solution for everyone. And it's just used to be a good idea, as Alice said, and now, you know, we think it's really an essential idea. Policymakers have been addressing it, and we can tell you more about that. But every single day, Alice and I get up and we think, what can we do today to highlight this problem and to put urgency around the need for a solution? So, PJ, really, I don't think for the rest of our lives we're going to have to tell anyone how important connectivity is. It's absolutely a lifeline for everyone right now. But by the way, there's a whole nother set of initiatives that we're working on at Qualcomm as well, relating to connectivity for and devices for low-income, you know, families, low-income people, whether they're, you know, have children or not. The FCC has a lifeline program, and there are efforts in Congress to expand it. And that program doesn't cover devices. It only covers a discount on service.
Absolutely. And that's, you're totally right. I think all at once society understands that connectivity is key, and we don't have to explain this anymore. These stats that, you know, and that you and Alice have touched on are staggering. And I think, you know, we have these articles here in front of us from CNET that at least 124,000 public and private schools have closed, affecting these 55 million students. And 17% of the K through 12 students, they don't have access to the to computers at home. And so, and it seems that the part of our massive, you know, effort from the government, this stimulus bill, is to help alleviate that and try and get devices into people's hands. And so I think your team has been active in just kind of providing some guidance as to what kind of tools that we can get to students. Is that correct?
Yeah, you say it in the past tense, we have been active, but we are active and we are going to continue to be active until you know, a law gets signed and the problem gets solved. So what's happened so far is there is a bill called the CARES Act, which the president signed in at the end of March, and it's that $2 trillion stimulus bill. And it did have a significant amount of money for schools, for K through 12 schools, on the order of $13 billion.
Oh, wow.
But of course, you can imagine schools have gigantic problems right now, not only maintaining their buildings, paying the teachers when there's, you know, declining tax base, you know, gigantic problems. But one of the things that was historic in the CARES Act is it has a grant program, a $12 billion grant program, and it lists about 12 different things that schools can use the grants for. And, you know, they're everything under the sun, basically everything that schools do. But one of them was to buy educational technology. And the law says hardware, software, and connectivity. So, you know, that's a step forward, a big step forward. And there are states and places around the cities, localities around the country that are going to take some amount of their CARES Act money and use it to try to erase this homework gap. And that's fantastic. The problem is, as I say, there are 12 different things, you know, that cover the gamut of everything schools do. And schools have these tremendous decline in revenue, billions and billions of dollars in revenue loss. So are they going to be able to, if you just say to the schools, you know, you can spend the money on your needs, well, that's a good thing. But this is just one of the needs, this connectivity and device shortage. So we still need a dedicated program of funding for this particular purpose. And as Alice mentioned, the FCC has the E-rate program. That is a program originally back in the 1990s, it was passed when schools weren't wired for the internet. And back in the days when kids would go to a computer lab in a school that had, you know, 20 desktop computers.
And I remember that.
I'm sure you do, right?
Yeah.
the reason that those computer labs got internet access was because of this federal E-rate program. But the E-rate program had two rules. One is, as Alice mentioned, it only covers connectivity on school grounds. And that's just because when it passed, no one could have imagined that we could have the connectivity at home that we have today. And no one was thinking about what are we going to do during a pandemic when people can't go to school. And then the other caveat in the program is it doesn't cover individual devices. You know, if you remember that computer lab, PJ, there were desktop computers. You couldn't pick up the computer and bring it home.
No, so, definitely not.
Right. So what we need today is a modernization of that program to cover connectivity off school grounds and to cover devices, because, you know, not only do kids not have connectivity, but as you mentioned, the statistic is staggering. About 10 million kids don't have home computers. We couldn't run Qualcomm if 17% of the employees didn't have a computer. And, you know, you cannot have remote learning that way. So we're hoping. So the bill that passed the House last week, there was a second stimulus bill. They passed a whole bunch of them called the HEROES Act. It had several billion dollars in funding for both E-rate to cover off-campus connectivity and to cover connected devices. And it also had additional funding for the Lifeline program so that even people who don't have kids, you know, PJ, if you're trying to file an unemployment claim in 2020, you got to go online. How do you do that if you don't have a device or connectivity? If you need healthcare, you know, you can't go to your doctor's office. The doctor says, let's do a video chat. What do you do if you don't have connectivity? You can't get healthcare. You know, every facet of American life has been impacted by this. So we're hopeful that in this second round of legislation, that there will be this dedicated pipeline of money, and the money then has to flow very, very quickly. And by the way, what we're doing on Qualcomm as well is we're planning for success.
That's incredible. And you know, you're totally right. Something that I didn't even consider until you pointed out is, hey, we have the situation now and how we get everybody online now to learn from home. But even in the future, it's going to be different and everyone's going to be at different, you know, it could be at different levels. And so we need to have the resources and the technology to kind of help lift everybody up and try and get back on pace. And to your point about having the technology for going forward, you know, for the past 2 years, Qualcomm has been really vocal about pushing ahead the next major advancement in connectivity, 5G. And so what role do you think that 5G has to play in this?
Well, here's how I would answer that, PJ. Again, since we never have to tell anyone that connectivity is important, I would say that's first principle. I would say the second principle is everyone wants the best connectivity. So there's, you know, a direct relationship between ensuring greater access to devices and connectivity and the rapid, broadest possible rollout of 5G.
This is something that your team had concentrated on very heavily, which was working with the governments and local governments to understand how to allocate spectrum. For first, it was for 3G, for 4G, and now 5G. And that was something we covered in a previous episode. And so on top of that, is that's something that your team is still actively involved in and 5G
spectrum? Every single day, absolutely. Uh-huh. And their 5G rollout continues. So the FCC back in February and March, and boy, that seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? They finished the largest millimeter wave auction, the largest auction that the FCC, the most amount of spectrum. If you're thinking of spectrum like real estate, the biggest sale of real estate ever, the FCC just finished that. And we are working on additional spectrum auctions, additional spectrum bands, and there continues to be what we like to call a steady stream of spectrum. It's kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Not too much, not too little, not too quickly, not too slowly. And, you know, we continue to work with the FCC and with Congress and with regulators all over the world to make sure that's taking place. But again, the nice thing is we never have to convince anyone about the importance of better connectivity. Everyone on the planet who's living right now knows how important connectivity is.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, having that connectivity is, I think, you know, from what I've seen and from what I've seen from our partners, you know, obviously we want to get connectivity into children's hands so they can learn remotely, but having this higher connectivity is also going to spawn innovation in education. And I think, you know, we're going to come out of this seeing new ways to learn. And I know we're planning an upcoming episode where we're going to talk about examples of how we're going to be using our partners also are going to be developing XR devices, the devices they've already built, and there's going to be innovation and learning via XR and to make it even more engaging and try and match or create something that's, you know, even better than what we had before this pandemic. Who knows where people are going to be learning from in the future, because also with our AI products, we'll be able to do real-time translation. So I think we're going to see, hopefully with connectivity and AI, we're going to see a lot of barriers lowered, and you can learn from possibly people who don't even speak your language, and it's going to be pretty seamless. So, but I appreciate everything your team has been doing out there. And I guess, is there anything that you see next happening that is going to really help our partners? Are you seeing our partners do activities as well to help get more connectivity into the hands of our kids who are trying to learn? I think you had mentioned that Verizon is also working to distribute connectivity to them as well.
All of Qualcomm's partners are involved in different initiatives around trying to solve this problem. Verizon is just the one that comes to mind because they are providing connectivity for free for 250,000 students in California. And they Verizon has a joint venture with the New York Times where Verizon is providing the content from the New York Times for free to all high school students in the country. And, you know, I'm just mentioning those two, but, you know, AT&T and T-Mobile and smaller operators all have a whole set of initiatives around, you know, doing what they can. But, you know, one thing that we discuss, that we feel strongly about, PJ, is this problem, it can't be solved with philanthropy. And that's because it's just too big.
Right.
You know, there are billionaires around the country, millionaires who on their own are making charitable donations. There's a fund here in DC. There are initiatives all over the country about this, charitable initiatives, but it's too big of a problem. It's too big of a problem for charity. It's too big of a problem for one company or even a group of companies. This is why we have a government. This is why we have a federal government. Again, we don't handle textbooks with charity. You know, governments have to get the money to give every kid a textbook. In the 21st century, a computer and connectivity, that's your textbook.
Absolutely.
I would just add that we, you know, we continue to be focused on, as Dean had described, dedicated, you know, legislation that has dedicated funding for this purpose. And in addition to the HEROES Act that was introduced last week, there's been specific legislation. Congresswoman Grace Meng from New York has introduced legislation in the House that would provide dedicated funding for this purpose. And then Senator Markey, with a slew of other senators, has introduced also legislation in the Senate to address that. And it's entirely possible that Congress is going to come back this summer to address additional stimulus, and that those, you know, those bills, some variation of those pieces of legislation would be included in that. And that's really what needs to happen here.
Totally. And I mean, Qualcomm is, we build ecosystems, and we always take a system ecosystem approach to a lot of these, you know, worldwide issues and solutions. So this is, I totally understand this is something that's going to, you know, take a ecosystem effort. And on top of that, our listeners should know we will have some upcoming episodes with Cristiano Amon on our philanthropic efforts that we are doing. But Dean Alice, to your point, this is going to be a battle on many fronts that we're going to have to work with. And so I appreciate all this. Alice and Dean, really appreciate everything you do for the this company out there in Washington, D.C. We've got it covered back in the labs back here in San Diego. We appreciate what you're doing out there and what you're doing now, this massive undertaking during this pandemic. And it's great to hear that we're trying to move things forward to get education going remotely through connectivity and your work with Washington, D.C. So thank you again for joining us.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Cool. All right. Stay safe and we'll see you again soon. Thanks for listening to the Qualcomm Podcast. If you haven't already subscribed, you can do so via SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Podcast, or Google Podcast. And by the way, our friends at Legal really want you to know that references to Qualcomm may be Qualcomm Incorporated, Qualcomm Technologies, Inc., and or its subsidiaries. Qualcomm Snapdragon is a product of Qualcomm Technologies Incorporated. Until next time.